All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he looks out for you, he comforts you. I pray that your spiritual health improves, your mental health improves, your physical health improves, your emotional health, financial health, resources health, your condition overall. I just pray that it improves in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your emotional health as well. Everything. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. I pray that you stay strong and wise in the Lord. And I pray that you keep fighting the good fight of faith. You stay on that narrow path. You keep walking by faith and not by sight. You take courage. You stay strong. You trust in the Lord. You hope in the Lord. You keep doing Father's business and Father's will for the rest of your life. You keep serving him, praising him, and helping along a lot of people along the journey as well. And I just pray that the Lord be with you in everything that you do and everything you touch prospers. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for waking us up. Let us thank the Lord for giving us another chance. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. Let us thank the Lord for protecting us coming in and going out. And let's just thank him for everything above and beyond, for things that we can't even countermeasure. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word, his mercy, his grace and love, his favor. His only begotten son died for our sins. Hallelujah. Gotta give him all the thanks, praise, honor, and glory for that, y'all. Most definitely, y'all. So always stay appreciative and grateful. There's a lot of things people complain about and murmur about, but a lot going on all four corners of the earth, and you are more blessed than you can realize it, okay? So be more appreciative of what the Lord has blessed you with, what he's brought you through, and what he still continue to do for you, amen, and through you as well, all right? Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everybody. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you guys supporting. It means a lot to me. I love you all, praying for you all. Body of Christ, shalom. Greetings, family, everybody who's listening. I appreciate all of you, okay? Love you all, praying for you, all right? So let us always encourage each other in the Lord. Let us uplift one another in Christ forevermore, amen. Most definitely, y'all. Welcome, everybody, all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues, all races, all faces, all four corners of the earth. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us gather. Let us praise the Lord. Let us come together. Let us be in cooperation. Let us be in agreement. Let us be in unity, harmony, and love. Yes, yes, y'all. So have to stay strong for the Lord, all right? We're scattered all four corners of the earth, but we can still serve the same creator, amen? Most definitely, he's looking out for us. He has eyes everywhere. He's seeing all that we're doing. So let us love him, live for him, and do better every day, amen? Take it one day at a time, people, most definitely. Let us love the Lord our God, for of our mind, heart, soul, strength, and might. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And let us obey the Lord. Let us obey his word. Let us obey the gospel. Let us do what the Lord told us to do. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers of the word. Most definitely, let us do Father's business and Father's will for the rest of our lives until his son comes back. All right. He has come back like a thief in the night. He has come back in an hour nobody knows but the Father. So let us stay ready so we don't have to get ready. Okay. Do not procrastinate. Do not do anything last minute. Do not put time off, okay? Stay on point. Stay ready right now. Live every day like he's coming back today, okay? Amen. So, yes, yes, y'all. Let's do it with gladness and joy. Amen, most definitely, y'all. So, in today's message to start off this week, all right, we are going to continue our Bible reading series, okay? So, last episode, we got through the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 17. And that was a heavy reading right there. Full 3 hours, full breakdowns, interpretation the best way possible. The book of Revelation is a very, very intense, heavy reading. So I did my best to interpret that book the best way I can because the spirit of prophecy is very powerful. So we have to be in the spirit as we're reading the word. And we have to always take heed to it and really have wisdom while reading this and digesting it, you know, because it's important to understand what's ahead and what's to come and how to go about it as we are right now. All right. So as of now, we are still in the beginning of sorrows and a lot of things still have to take place prophecy wise, prophetic wise. So as of now, let us get stronger and stronger in the Lord and keep seeking his face through it all. Amen. And let us always be on the good side of the Lord and fear him and love him forever and bring others to his love as well. Amen. So we're going to continue this Bible reading series, all right? So we're going to finish up the book of Revelation. And then from there, we'll close out with a prayer, a priestly blessing. And we're going to give all the glory, praise, and honor, and thanks to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise the only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. I'm telling you, the more I read Revelation, the more I just be thinking like, wow, man, these things definitely have to come to pass. Amen. All right. So let us go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. All right. The book of Revelation, chapter 18. Here we go. The fall of Babylon. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven. And God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her.'" "When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power. In 1 hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet, cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin.'" "Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earned their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city?' They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin.' Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you." Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again." "Will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, by your witchcraft, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth." That is the book of Revelation, chapter 18 right there. The fall of Babylon. Some powerful, heavy, intense reading right there. So the Lord is going to destroy this whole thing in an hour. He going to tear that thing down in an hour. You got to remember, many people on YouTube, probably different scholars, all types of people who study the scriptures or who are into geography or prophecy or what have you. There's many theories about what Babylon like is, right? Like some people still use it as the ancient city or the what have you, ancient place. Some people compare it to ancient Rome, ancient Greece. Some people call America Babylon. There's some people who go on YouTube and say America's Babylon. and what have you. But all in all, like, how it's going to be displayed at the end of the day, the Most High going to tear it all up in an hour. He's going to put it on the ruins in an hour. So when the Lord recompense the wicked, he is going to tear that thing down because of how much they killed all the saints and the prophets, okay? Babylon has destroyed our prophets, our saints, the ones who really follow Christ and so forth and so forth. This Babylonian rulership, this Babylonian system, all right? So Babylon's going to fall and it's going to get their judgment, all right? She will get put down the drain. Everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. Talked about how people from the people by the sea going to see it. Those who are sailors, they even going to see it. Everybody's going to be able to see the destruction and wrath God is going to pour out. All right. So prophecy is a very heavy, intense thing. It was interesting. It also talks about the resources of it. It says how when you read Revelation 18, chapter 18, verses 11 all the way through 13, it says, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses, carriages, and bodies of souls of men. So the Lord's turned it all down. Ain't nothing going to stand or last through this. Nothing. Who can withstand the day of the Lord? Who can endure that? No one can. And it says in 17, verse 17, it says, in 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. So this whole Babylonian structure, this whole system, all these big time companies, all these things, these, you know, all this $1 billion stuff, man, all this whole civilization will go down the drain in an hour. All of it. And then and it says, furthermore, it says in verse 20, it tells us, rejoice over her, O heaven, rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. So Babylon really tore us apart and scattered us and did so much evil, heinous things to us through the captivity, the slavery, exile, the persecution, the killing, the slaying, the imprisonment, the mockery, the ridicule. Babylon's going to pay for that because you don't mess with the Most High's children and get away with it. You know, pop's father ain't playing. All right. So the way you treat so much children, that's how the parent going to treat you. Amen. So the Heavenly Father, he's seen what we've endured all down here and what we're going to endure before his son comes back. So we're going to endure a lot. Me, you, we're going to endure a bunch of persecution, imprisonment, mockery, ridicule, even death, okay? So the Most High going to pay back Babylon. Go tear it up in an hour. And then when you read chapter 18, verse 22, it says, the music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. So this is talking about, like, the music industry. Like Hollywood, you have all these celebrities, these musicians, all these rappers, singers, famous musicians. They don't get the judgment because the whole industry, like politics, music, sports, all that, is a Babylonian like jurisdiction, a Babylonian rulership over all of it. They all worship Satan and they also worship Babylonian gods and goddesses, ancient Rome gods and goddesses, Greek gods and goddesses. So these musicians who partake in all this Babylonian culture, the Lord going to tear them down. And it says, never be hurting you again. No workmen of any trade. So all the workers, all the founders of this Babylonian structure and system, they're going to get torn down too. All of it. And, you know, the Most High going to tear it all down. The light of it, the glory of it, the witchcraft of it, he going to tear it all down. Mm-hmm. And it said that the mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. So the Most High ain't playing with Babylon. And it also says in Revelation 18, verses 4, it says, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share her sins, so that you will not receive in any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. So we have to come out of Babylon, come out of her. It means to not be entangled with her anymore, to not follow the Babylonian way of lifestyle, to not love the world or the things of it. Because God going to burn it up and burn up anybody who's still mixed in with it. So the Lord is calling us to come out of that, come into him, come in his presence, his covenant, his son, the ways of the word, the commandments of God, the testimony of Jesus, so forth and so forth. God is calling us out of this Babylonian world so that way we won't get punished with it. All right, so those who worship the image of the beast, those who take the mark of the beast, who still want to be following this Babylonian system and structure, they're going to get punished with it. We have to come out of this because we've been so entangled with this for so long through indoctrination of the school system, through our upbringings. We've been entangled with this through pop culture, so forth and so forth. The influence and the stronghold that this structure has had on people, we have to come out of it. Repentance, baptism, fasting and praying, deliverance, all of that. We need all of that, y'all, because we got to come out of Babylon, come out of it, okay? All right, so that's the book of Revelation chapter 18. All right, Babylon will be consumed by fire. He is a consuming fire, so Babylon got to go. Burn, Babylon, burn. Fall, Babylon, most definitely, all right? Now, that was the book of Revelation chapter 18 reading. Now, let us go to the book of Revelation chapter 19, all right? Revelation chapter 19, here we go. Hallelujah. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again, they shouted, Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants. You fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. The rider on the white horse. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. But he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp word with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, Come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the lake of fire. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. It's a book of Revelation chapter 19 reading. Some powerful, heavy, prophetic things right here. Amen. Yes, yes. So before I review Revelation 19, I just want to look at the end of Revelation 18 one more time. It says, "In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth." So all the prophets and saints out there, stay strong for the Lord. All right. And even till death, you stay faithful and loyal to the Lord. Amen. Even all the way. Okay. So stay strong, people. All right. Now, as you review the book of Revelation chapter 19, it goes more further into John seeing a great multitude of heaven shouting hallelujah, and they're all giving praise and glory to God. And then furthermore, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fell down and worshiped God, who's seated on the throne. And furthermore, they're praising and worshiping and rejoicing. And then it says, "For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." So you always saw, like, when Jesus was spreading the gospel, when he was doing his works, he always made so much parables about weddings and banquets and feasts. You notice that? So basically, when Jesus was speaking in parables, he was always like using himself in that metaphorical, poetic way, because he always described the kingdom of heaven or the day of judgment, all these different things. He always compared it to a wedding, a banquet. You know what I'm saying? And this right here is basically what it is. It's basically a wedding. The first wedding was God and Israel, Mount Sinai. This wedding is with us and the Lord, Mount Zion. Okay, so this is the wedding. Basically, Jesus was talking about through the parables. And he said how a king was throwing a banquet, was throwing a wedding for his son. And it said how he sent out people to invite to come to the wedding. And the people who sent out invitations got killed. So that was referring to the prophets and the saints. And then the king, the parable, the king said, "Okay, I will send out my son. They won't harm my son." And they end up killing the son. So basically, this Revelation 19 is like reliving. It's basically a bigger illustration of the parables Jesus was saying. All right. Because Jesus always compared the kingdom of heaven. He always compared himself as coming back for his people, like a wedding or a banquet. And this is like a heavenly wedding, like a heavenly ceremony. And Christ always regarded himself the bridegroom. Israel was always regarded as a wife, all right, like the bride. We were always considered the bride, all right. And then even with God referring Israel as his wife, he even referred it within the new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31, so forth, where it says how God brought up saying how it would not break the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to leave my Egypt, because they broke my covenant though I was a husband to them. So God always compared Israel as a wife. Okay. And this wedding is an everlasting wedding, eternal wedding, continual feast, everlasting life. Okay. So Christ is coming back to marry Israel, to marry all of us. Okay. The 12 tribes and those outside the 12 tribes of sheep who are not of his fold, they're going to all be one shepherd, one flock of sheep. Amen. So we're going to all be engrafted, the 144 and those outside the 144, in the Lord's presence, married together forever. All right. That just shows how intimate it is, like spiritually, and the type of bond and relationship we have with the Lord. All right. So very powerful ceremonial prophetic thing right there. And furthermore, John said how fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. All right. And furthermore, he describes saying, "The angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." So remember, when Jesus was walking earth with disciples, he always kept saying, "Let him who has an ear, let him hear." The gospel was basically like an invitation. It was like a flyer. You know, the gospel, that's basically like a flyer. You know how you could be in a random part of a city or a plaza and you'll see somebody passing out some, like in a carnal worldly sense, just use this correlation comparison where somebody had passed out a flyer and say, "Hey, come to this event. Hey, slide to this festival, slide to this concert, come to this club, blah, 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 blah," right? So you're sending out flyers, you're sending out flyers. Now, if you go out and send out, let's say 500 flyers, right? what's going to happen? People are going to trample it, throw the flies on the ground, right? So basically, when Jesus and the disciples were spreading the gospel, so they were passing out the gospel, a lot of people trampled on it. A lot of people, like, it's, the scripture says that some people were astonished at the teachings. They were astonished and amazed. But a lot of people deep down still didn't believe or still didn't receive all the way. Furthermore, he did reach who he could with his teachings, his miracles and stuff of that nature. But Christ was still rejected, despised, hated by people. And so were the disciples and all the prophets and saints. So we're out spreading the word of God, spreading the gospel, talking about the things to come. And look how we get treated for it. Right. So we're constantly inviting people to get to repent, get baptized, start their life with Christ, believe the gospel, Jesus coming back. We're all basically passing out the word of God. We're passing it out. We're inviting people, and everybody doesn't want to come to the wedding. Everybody doesn't want to have eternal life with Jesus. Everybody doesn't want to attend it. And you know, the angel said, hey, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, the wedding feast of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited, who accepted the invitation, you know. Me, you, we accepted, obviously, the invitation. We accept Christ and so forth. But we got to get more people to slide too. Jesus calls us to invite more people. The Lord doesn't want nobody to perish. He want to fill up the house, the mansions in heaven. He wants to fill up the seats at the wedding. He wants to fill them up. He wants so much people to be glorified with his son. He wants it to be beautiful. So we got to want that and strive towards that. Amen. So let's always keep seeking the Lord, man. We got to seek him, people, okay? And furthermore, when John was seeing all these things and the angel was talking to him, you know, it says that at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. So John was so amazed by this stuff. He was so blown away. He ended up bowing down to the angel and worshiping the angel. And the angel had to correct him, rebuke him. It's like, hey, man, I'm a fellow servant like you. You don't worship me. You worship God. You worship the Father. So always remember that only the Father is worthy of worship. Nothing, nobody else. You don't worship an angel. You don't worship a man, a woman. You don't worship any idol, anything of the earth. You don't worship anything, okay? You don't worship prophets or saints or fellow people of the Lord, okay? You only worship the Creator, the Father. That's it, okay? But John was so blown away by it, he just felt that was the right thing to do. But the angel corrected him, amen, by the grace of God. And you got to take that correction, okay? You got to take that. And furthermore, it says, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. All right, so let us all be witnesses and have testimonies, amen. All righty. And furthermore, in Revelation 19, John goes more into detail about the rider on the white horse. And he said, he saw heaven standing open, and therefore before him was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. So that's powerful right there, Revelation 19:12, because it talks about how he has a name written on him no one knows but himself. So this right here is why we should stop arguing about what's his name is, you know, because throughout Revelation, you see how he's discussed figuratively, poetically, metaphorically by different names. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Faithful and True, the True Witness, the Son of Man. He has many different names to go by. A lot of people down here like to argue and bicker and debate about how, oh, his name's not Jesus, and it's Yeshua, Yahweh Shai, Yeshua, this, this, and that. And people argue over grammar and translations, and there's nothing to really argue about. You can't add or take away from the word of Most High. The Father and the Son have all types of names. They have all types of names we don't even know about. All we have is our Bibles, Google, and research. That's all we have, man. The Creator, you can't put the Creator and the Son in a box. Especially when it comes to figuratively speaking or their names, you can't put them in a box. It's always important to fear the Lord and acknowledge the existence of him and his son and believing in them. But don't get so hung up on language translation, because remember, it's going to be all languages, all tongues confessing who the Lord is. It's going to be all knees bowing to him. And that's going to be all four corners of the earth who don't speak English, who don't speak Hebrew, that's going to still praise the Lord and be glorified with him. Okay, so that's why you don't get hung up on tongue translations. Don't get so hung up on that, all right? Because when you read the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, it says that in a rhetorical way. And then also when you read Revelation 19, 12, he says he has a name written on him. Nobody knows but him. All right, so that goes beyond the Hebrew and beyond it. Because if John knew it, he could have easily saw it and interpreted it because they all knew the Hebrew. So for him to say it's a name written on nobody knows but him, that goes beyond the Hebrew. That's a whole heavenly language lingo right there, amen. That's a whole prophetic language that goes way past our understanding. You have to remember at the end of the day, God works in mysterious ways. So, and so does his son, because, you know, him and the father are one. Him and the father, they're mysterious about the way they go about things. So it's always important to fear them and respect them as who they are and where they stand, and to not become so argumentative and try to be a debater or a scholar about their names, all right, and the power of their names, amen. Because at the end of the day, he's the name above all names, all right. So that's just what John was seeing. But then furthermore, it says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So then it says it right there. And then furthermore, it talks about the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Remember, Jesus came to bring a sword, okay? And the word is a double-edged sword, so. Wow, it's powerful right there. And then it says, he will rule them with the iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, Revelation chapter 19, John said that he saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Wow. So the angel is telling the birds, like, yo, y'all about to have a feast. Y'all about to tear up these people down here. So the birds are going to eat up the kings of the earth, and the generals and the mighty men, the horses, the birds are going to eat it up. Ain't that something? Even the birds are going to play a part in this prophecy. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Even the birds are going to tear this thing up. Whew. God is not, he God letting everybody get in on it. We're going to have it's the wedding feast of the Lamb, everlasting life with the Son, and then the birds and all the Most High's creation, they're going to have a feast tearing up the wicked. Mm-hmm. We are having a feast, people. We are having a feast, a prophetic feast, people. Yes, yes. And then furthermore, John said, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured with him, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the lake of fire. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Jesus came to bring a sword, not peace. Yes, yes, y'all. Heavy prophecy, all right? So that's the book of Revelation chapter 19 reading, all right? Now let us go to the book of Revelation chapter 20, all right? Revelation chapter 20, here we go. The 1,000 years. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having a key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He drew him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Satan's doom. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Mm-hmm. The dead are judged. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Alrighty. That's the book of Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Revelation chapter 20. So as we review the book Revelation chapter 20, it goes a lot more into detail about what John was seeing with the angel. And he came out of, the angel was coming down out of heaven, and he had the key to the abyss and was holding a great chain. So he seized Satan. He bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Furthermore, John said that he saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. Remember, John the Baptist got beheaded. All right. And then Stephen got stoned. Many of the prophets, priests, apostles, disciples were all killed for the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And we're going to go through that, too. All right. We're going to also be beheaded and slain for the testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. All right. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. Mm-hmm. So those who reject the worship of the beast and the mark, we'll go through it in that sense. And then it says they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So the 1,000 years part is very interesting read on the process of that. And then furthermore, it talks about Satan's doom. It says that when 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown down. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's interesting. So after the 1,000 years is up, Satan's going to go out and about within a short time, and then they're going to get thrown into the lake of fire forever. Them, the false prophet, the beast, will be thrown down forever. And after that, it says the dead are judged. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and for him, and him who was seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it says it's going to be books opened up. It's going to be books, going to be the book of life. Probably a book of recordings of everything we've done. Probably the book of law. You know, the commandments to hold us accountable, all these things. And remember, like when Daniel, he had dreams and visions. He had dreams and visions of judgment too. And the end times. And Daniel had dreams of like courts. He saw like courts and judgment. All right. So everything we've done throughout our lives will be judged. Okay. So we got to work hard, do better for the Lord and change our ways, turn from our ways, people, and work hard to earn our name on the last book of life and to, you know, fight for the crowns of heaven, eternal life, things of that nature. All right. Because, you know, everybody's getting judged. Okay, so make sure your name's on the last book of life when it's all said and done. Make sure he tells you, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the most excellent words you can hear. Amen. So let us keep fearing the Lord and keep living for him day by day, y'all, every day, okay? So that's the book of Revelation chapter 20. Now what I'd like to do is read the book of Revelation chapter 21, all right? The book of Revelation chapter 21, here we go. The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who was thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelievers, the cowards, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice witchcraft, the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake of fire. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. That's about 1,400 miles in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth the carnelian, the seventh the chrysolite, the eighth the beryl, the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth the chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right. That's the book of Revelation chapter 21 reading. Very powerful, excellent, beautiful reading. All right. So as we review Revelation chapter 21, I just would like to read this commentary in the commentary scripture. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God will wipe away all the tears. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So basically, we're going to become immortal. The same thing Paul was talking about. He's saying how we're going to have immortal bodies. We're going to be glorified with him, and we're going to be in his glory, witnesses to it. Our bodies are going to be full of light. It's going to be so much light in God's glory and presence that there won't be room for emotions, for crying or tears or anything, because like eternal light, everlasting life, serving an everlasting Father, and so forth and so forth. So as we review Revelation 21, it goes into detail about the New Jerusalem, how John saw a new heaven and saw a new earth. He said the first heaven and the first earth hath passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And he said he saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Said, heard an angel, he heard a loud voice of the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and the God himself will be with them and be their God. So let's go back to the covenant of Jeremiah and also Zechariah. How we will be his people and he will be our God. So that's what Jeremiah and Zechariah, basically almost all the prophets basically said. They worded it a certain way. And then Daniel talked about the everlasting foundation, the everlasting people. Basically, with Daniel's dreams, he saw everlasting kingdom, which is us. Okay, the 144, those outside the 144 as well. Okay, furthermore, it's just very beautiful when you see that he says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Because when we're in this flesh, you know, we're full of emotions and feelings and sensitivity towards things. But when we become immortal and we have like heavenly bodies and we be glorified with him and we're in his presence, we're going to be eternal people, everlasting people with full of light with no emotions or mood swings or anything like that. All right, so that's very powerful. So that shows that before we have to get towards that, we have to go through a whole lot. As we're down here, we're going to have to go through a whole lot of crying, a whole lot of mourning, a whole lot of pain before we go into the immortal body. So, you know, us being in this flesh right now, we're going to really go through a lot in these last days, okay? And furthermore, John was saying how it said, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who was thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the cowards, the unbelievers, the vile, the murderers of sexual immorality, those who practice witchcraft, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So this is very detailed about which group of people will go to the lake of fire. Of course, those whose names not written on the book of life, but it's also the people, the type of sins they died in and their lifestyles, the cowards, people who were cowards. Never stood up for nothing, never fought for anything, cowards, the unbelieving, unbelievers, atheists, those who don't believe God's power or word of prophecy or truth, the vile, you know, those abominable people, those detestable people do detestable things, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immorality, the whoremongers, those who practice witchcraft, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of, they'll be in the lake of fire. It's the second death. So make sure you are not a coward. Make sure you're not an unbeliever. Make sure you're not abominable doing detestable things. Make sure you're not a murderer or hating your brother, hating your neighbors. Make sure you're not into sexual morality, whether it's gay, lesbianism, transgenderism, confusion, sexual deviancy, perversion of all kinds, pornography, masturbation, adultery, rape, sex trafficking, all that sexual morality. Okay. Lust, all of that. Make sure you don't do that no more. Turn away from those things. Those who practice witchcraft, stop doing all that sorcery and witchcraft, people. All sorts of witchcraft, white magic, black magic, Santeria, all that stuff. Flee from that in the name of Jesus. No more witchcraft. All right. People got to flee from those things, man. That witchcraft got a lot of it got a stronghold on a lot of people out here. The idolaters, people who worship other gods, people who worship themselves, idolaters, people who worship rappers, singers, athletes, politicians, famous figures, public figures, those who worship Buddha, and people into all these religions, Allah, all this Hinduism, Buddhism, all these religions, it's idolatry. They worship in counterfeit gods, false gods. People who worship all these things, people who commit adultery, who's worshiping all types of gods, but the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the only true God there is. Amen. So those who worship someone, those who worship outside of that, those are idolaters and liars. Okay. So liars will go to the lake of fire. Dishonest people with dishonest lifestyles. Man. The Lord ain't playing about who going to the lake of fire. So make sure we have to turn from all this. Okay. You got to turn from your ways, people. We have the time now to repent, get baptized, get set free, delivered, and turn from this stuff. In Jesus' name, you could turn from being a coward. You could be strong and courageous for God. You could turn away from being an unbeliever or atheist. You could come into knowing God for himself and knowing and the knowledge of wisdom, understanding from God. You could believe who he is and his word and his son and all of that. All right, the abominable people do abominable, detestable things. Turn away from that filth. Turn away from that degenerate stuff. Turn away from that, y'all. Turn away from it. All right, those who are murderers, those who are killers. Jesus said that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. All right, so stop hating your brother and stop killing people, okay? There's a lot of people who do ritual sacrifices and who are murderers and killers. These people, they go into the lake of fire. Okay, the sexual morality, I just wanted to detail about that. All that LGBT stuff, all that sexual perversion, all that sexual deviancy, debauchery, turn away from that. In Jesus' name, get delivered and set free from that. Repent and get baptized from those things. Flee from it, people. Those who are into witchcraft, flee from that stuff. Y'all, that ancestral worship, all that demon stuff. All that witchcraft, flee from it, people. Flee from it. In Jesus' name, the idolaters, flee from idolatry in the name of Jesus. All right. As stubborn as rebellion is a form of witchcraft as well. So stop being stubborn, hard-headed. Stop being rebellious. Be obedient and serve the Lord and listen to the words of God. Listen to the word of God. Amen. So that Revelation 21:8 is a very a serious scripture. All right, let people stop lying, stop living dishonest lifestyles, stop misleading people, stop lying, spreading falsehoods, false testimonies, bearing false witness. Stop it, people, stop the lying. A lot of lies and deceptions being spreaded, y'all. Very serious stuff, okay? And furthermore, as we read Revelation 21, it just goes further into saying how one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square. As long as it was wide, it was measured in the city. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as its long. He measured its wall and it was 144 cubits thick. By man's measurement, which the angel was using, the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Powerful streets of gold. Well, that's powerful and beautiful. Only the creator can make something that beautiful. Amen. God is an amazing creator. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is its lamp. The lamp is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, in order to be in God's presence, you have to be holy. All right. There's no filth in God's presence. That's how holy he is. Remember, he told Moses, take off your sandals, for my ground is holy ground. Amen. He told Joshua, the high priest, take off them filthy garments. That's how serious God's presence is. That's how holy he is. Amen. So we're going to become holy and witnesses in his glory. We're going to be in his light. Remember, we are a royal priesthood in his marvelous light. All right. We are lights of the world. We are people full of light, God's glory, light radiation, fire, the consuming fire. We got a consuming fire within us. We shine so bright. We don't even need no night or day. Amen. Glory, God's glory, his light going to shine that bright. That's powerful. Eternal life. Very powerful, very beautifully detailed too. Amen. I'm telling y'all, man, we have to work hard. Eternal life in 100-fold, people. Eternal life 100-fold. Amen. Amen. So that is the book of Revelation chapter 21 reading. All right. So before I go into Revelation chapter 22, there is 2 commentaries I would like to read prior to it. Okay. We're going to read these 2 commentaries and then go from there. All right. So here we go. All right. Yes. Yes. Today's Bible reading, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 27. Recommended reading, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, verses 1 through 35. The book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. And also the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. The end is in sight. All right. The end is in sight is the title of the commentary. The marathon runner crests the last hill and glimpsed the finish line. His eyes widen while his frenzied heart beats even faster. His race is nearly done, so he shakes the sweat from his head, grunts as he accelerates and gives one last kick at the end. Sprinting toward the finish line, what inspires such effort from someone so clearly fatigued? How can he muster even more energy when his lungs already burn? The prize at the end of the race makes each ache and every pain worthwhile. Of course, the Apostle John, now an old man, isn't running any marathons, yet inwardly his heart continues to race. Before him hangs the finishing tape of his apocalypse, the entire Bible, the Christian faith, and history itself. Just across the finish line awaits the prize that makes every pain he's endured worth it in the end. But what is the prize? We might be tempted to conclude, no more death or mourning, crying or pain. Verse 4, that's the prize. Or we might posit the holy city Jerusalem shining like a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. Verses 10 through 11. We might expect that the prize is being reunited with our Christian friends and loved ones. While all of these are certainly treasures, however, a far greater treasure awaits, the one that confers value on each of these lesser prizes. The treasure of heaven is God himself. He's the prize we race after all our lives. God's presence with his people wipes away their tears of mourning. Verses 3 through 4, God's glory caused the city to shine. Verse 11, the glory of God illuminates the New Jerusalem and attracts the praise of the nations. Verses 23 through 24, imagine John returning to his daily life after catching a glimpse of God's glory at the finish line. Do you think that following that experience, he could yawn and then waste his time with the trivialities of this world? No. In his heart, this aged saint had run the race of faith with incredibly renewed vigor and abandon. He had seen the prize. By faith, you can also gaze at the prize as you meditate on this portion of scripture. Then run, chase after the treasure of heaven, God himself. Amen. Things to take away from this commentary. What aspect of heaven excites you the most? Is it being with God and Jesus, or is it something else? Does the thought of being with God forever cause you to run the race of faith with vigor and abandon? If not, why not? What steps can you take to develop a greater thirst for the treasure of heaven, God himself? Hallelujah, y'all. I'm telling you, that eternal life is powerful and beautiful. Remember, I said that in the prophecy, it says that the tabernacle of David will be risen up as the days of old. So how are we going to be a tight-knit people with the Most High in his presence? That's how it's going to be like that. And also, Isaiah said everlasting joy. All right, everlasting joy. So all of us being in God's presence and the Son's presence as well, and his light and his glory, that's just powerful and beautiful. That just shows how, in a earthly carnal sense, how further away we actually are, from his like presence and glory. But obviously, like, the kingdom of heaven is within us, and greater is he that's inside of us than he does in the world. And of course, he sends out his spirit. But I'm saying, like, overall, like, the Father is all the way up there in the heaven when the Son is at the right hand of him, and we're down here in this fleshly, earthly, filthy world, you know, this violent, wicked, sinful world. So we have to, like, endure through all this filth, all this wickedness, all this sin. You know, we got to push through all this filth down here to get back in his presence, to get back as one with him. Amen. So I believe that's so powerful when you really think of it. You know, we go through day by day, going through our routines and going through life. But like, when you really look at it from a spiritual view, it's like, man, we live in so filthy. Like, the things we're watching, our routines, our habits, the way we're looking at stuff on the internet, what we see on the news, everything's so filthy and so hurtful and stressful and painful and negative. But the God will wipe away the tears. No more mourning, no more sadness, no more crying, no more mourning. Amen. So we have to fight that good fight, people. We have to run that race. He is the prize, man. We have to fix our eyes on the prize like he is the race. We got to seek God's face. You want to be in his presence. You need that. Amen. We need to keep seeking him day after day. All right. So that eternal life, that everlasting life, man, that's powerful. That's powerful. That just shows you, in order for it to be no more tears, no more mourning, that means we're going to go through it real hard in these end times. We're going to go through it real hard, okay? Very, very hard, okay? The persecutions, the ridicule, the mockery, the test, the trials, the tribulations, the hardships, the challenges. I'm telling you, this spiritual warfare is going to get so much intense. I'm telling you, God going to be testing us hard. He's going to test our faithfulness, our love, He's going to increase our faith. He's going to strengthen us. And the things that's going to pop off from now on, it's just going to just, oof, you know what I mean? So stay encouraged, stay strong, people. I speak for myself, too, you know. I be getting these dreams, man, and they just be heavy and prophetic, man. And I'm just like, man, you know, the things that's ahead, man, we're going to have to stay strong through this, family. Let's keep pressing on, amen. Let's keep pressing on, okay? So that was the first reading. That was the first commentary. Now I want to get to the second commentary, okay? So let's go through with the second commentary. Title of this commentary is Faithful Visitor on a Sorceress. All right. Excuse me, on a Sorceress. Okay, Faithful Visitor on a Sorceress. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The street outside the imperial prison was crowded with families and fears. Occasionally, wagons drove up to the gate, filled with ragged prisoners. For most of them, the exit led directly to the killing sands of the Colosseum. Dust and despair filled the air. Onesiphorus stood across the busy road and surveyed the scene. He had no desire to enter those gates, but he had promised to bring back news. How would he find the apostle? Was Paul still alive? Onesiphorus had already heard the going rate for a visitor's pass. He had little of value to offer. He was about to leave when a movement to his left caught his eye. He turned to see a Roman soldier making his way through the crowd on his side of the street. Onesiphorus decided to take a risk. Saul of Tarsus, sir, do you know him? The soldier stopped as though he'd been struck. He sized up Onesiphorus, knowing Saul of Tarsus might be dangerous in some circles. I've been chained to him day and night for several months. Is that what you mean by knowing him? He used his forearm to shove Onesiphorus up against the wall. And what do you know of Saul of Tarsus? The young man realized he was playing a dangerous game. I know that Saul is his legal Roman name. Those who call him friend also call him Paul. He said, desperately hoping he hadn't revealed too much. A hint of a smile crossed the soldier's face as he said, I know him as Paul. And then as though acknowledging a very deep allegiance, he added, and I know the one he serves, my captain. News at last, thought Onesiphorus. He was trying to formulate a question when the soldier interjected, my name is Cicero. Are you ready to see Saul? Shaking his head in wonder and praise to God, Onesiphorus followed Cicero through the crowd, the gates, the stench, and the darkness to a cell that was to become his daily haunt. Long before they reached the chamber, Onesiphorus heard Paul's voice reverberating through the halls, offering words of hope that seemed to push back the despair that would otherwise have permeated the place. He knew that voice, the voice that had introduced his household to the gospel of Jesus. In that day, in that moment, even before their greeting, Onesiphorus glanced around him at the gloomy squalor of this place of captivity and realized with a start that this was suddenly the place he most wanted to be. Back to the future. On what occasions in your life has God opened a door, provided an unexpected way for you to accomplish your goals? What impact do you see? What impact do you suspect seeing Paul must have had on Onesiphorus? How often do you offer a word of gratitude or encouragement to someone who has had a powerful effect on your life? The story continues to explore Onesiphorus' background. Read Ephesians and 2 Timothy. All right, so this is just going back in time of Onesiphorus and Paul and their interactions with one another and how they are there for each other in their darkest moments and their hardest times, in and out of prisons, going through it, being persecuted for the gospel in Christ's sake. Amen. So it's important that we don't forget the supporters and those who help us along our journey, because a lot of times it could be a lonely journey and very isolated journey. But of course, God is always with us. His Son is with us always. The Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, comforting us. But beautiful people God sends your way, supportive people, that's always amazing to have. Amen. So never feel like you're alone out there, okay? You scattered people, just know that we're all here for each other, amen? We all pray for each other and loving one another from a distance, near and dear, amen? Most definitely. So that was the book of Revelation, chapter 21 reading, and the two commentary readings as well, all right? Now we are going to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, all right? The book of Revelation, chapter 22, here we go. All right. The river of life. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Jesus is coming. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice witchcraft, sexual immorality, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. All righty, y'all. That is the book of Revelation, chapter 22. That is the last chapter of the scriptures, y'all, from Genesis to Revelations. All right. Revelation, chapter 22. I would like to read this in commentary scripture within Revelation 22. It says, "God is coming again soon." Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. "He who testifies to these things say, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." All right. So as we review Revelation chapter 22, it's very interesting because I remember in the Gospels, Jesus said that you'll be able to feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll be able to recline at a table with them. Because he's basically saying, with eternal life, everlasting life, we're going to be able to see the ones we read scriptures about. We'll be able to eat at a table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them. Can you imagine, like, can you think of eternal life and thinking of sitting at a table with Job or Ezekiel or Jeremiah and ask them all types of questions and their experiences and how they went through it? Can you, like, imagine that? That's very powerful. Jesus told the disciples about being at a table with Abraham. And also that story with Abraham and Lazarus, that story as well within the Gospels. So it's a powerful, heavy spiritual stuff, man. Powerful prophetic things, man. And also, and it's talking about the river of life and the water from the throne of God. That just shows that when Jesus said, "Whoever thirsts will drink again, but whoever drinks of my water will never thirst again." So that was an everlasting saying he was talking about. And it also, it's also cool because Jesus talked about having a hunger for righteousness, having a thirst for righteousness, you know, and how you'll be satisfied. Amen. So this is ultimate satisfaction. Eternal life is beyond satisfaction. Amen. So Revelation chapter 22 is a very amazing, excellent read, very powerful. John just describes the throne of God and the Lamb, then the great street of the city. And he describes the water, the rivers, the tree of life, and bearing the 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And he also goes further to detail about the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So the leaves are going to literally heal us from everything we've. That's so cool. It's going to heal us. That's so cool. No longer will there be any curse. No more curses, okay? The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So his name's going to be on our foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Jesus is coming. Behold, I am coming. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. And John, when he kept seeing these things, he was so blown away by it. He kept worshiping the angel. The angel told him, do not worship me. Worship the Father. I'm a fellow servant and brother with you. So your brothers and prophets, he said, do not do it. So I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. You only worship the Creator, people, only. Okay. So that's kind of funny because the angel had to repeatedly tell John that. So that's kind of funny. But yeah. And furthermore, he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. All right, y'all. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice witchcraft, sexual morality, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. Wow. And called them dogs, too. That's interesting, because Jesus called the Phoenician Syrian woman a dog. So then you see this reference again, calling them dogs. Yeah, there's something. Furthermore, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. All righty. So that's powerful. It says that if anyone adds to this, that God will add the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from it, from the book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So that's how powerful the word is, man. You can't add to the word or take from it. Very powerful. It also goes back to the book of law. And the Old Testament says you don't add or take from the word. So that's how powerful the word is. And you have a lot of, and this is why when I do these Bible series readings, I always read every scripture, every verse, man. And I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And I ask the Lord to guide my tongue as I try to just talk about from a commentary, descriptive standpoint. You never play with the Most High's word. You never do that. And there's a lot of people out here who's doing that. These false teachers, these false pastors, false prophets, these deceiving people. They distort the word. They twist it up. They water it down. They add to it, they take from it, and the Most High gonna get them for that, man. The word is the word, okay? You don't poo-poo the word or take from it or add to it, all right? If you don't accept the Most High's word, then that's your judgment, all right? Because there's nothing to add or take from this. There's nothing to add to it or take away from. The word is the word, amen? So people need to stop being lukewarm and stop straddling the fence and always trying to please everybody's emotions. The word is the word. Old Testament, New Testament, lost books of the Bible, the word is the word. All right. So always remember that. Amen. So there you have it. All right. That is the book of Revelation reading. Very excellent, powerful book, man. Very excellent read. Wow, wow, wow. I'm very happy to go through this whole Bible reading series with you all. And I continue the Bible reading series because we got through the book of Genesis all the way through Revelations within a good amount of months. I started this Bible reading series, I believe, in March and ended it right at the end of July, all right, before August. So, wow. So it's a good four or five months of just doing this, man. So, very excellent, powerful read. I'm happy to share the word with you all. And I continue to keep sharing the word with you all. We have to keep sharing the word and not only being sharers and hearers of it, but being doers of the word. Amen. Have to be doers of the word, y'all. So we know the word from Genesis to Revelation. We have to spread this and let people know what's up. We have to help these people out here who are damaged or hurting or traumatized or broken or what have you. We can let them know that only the Lord can heal them. Only the Lord can fix them up. The word, the washing of the word will cleanse their life, y'all. Amen. The baptism, the repentance, the deliverance, the new life, new mind, new heart, new soul. New creature in Christ, born again. Yes, y'all, we got to help these people with the word, man. The Lord gave us his word. He gave us grace, mercy, promises, covenant. He gave us his only begotten son. There's no excuse to why you can't believe in the Lord or do right or change your ways or do better. There's no excuse, y'all. We got to do better. Me, you, all of us, we got to do better, people. We have to. Just reading Revelation, it put the fear of God in you more, even much more, doesn't it? So let's make sure we are the first fruits, the 144. Let us make sure that we are the 12 tribes. Let's make sure that we are, let's make sure to embrace that. Let's make sure we are we don't accept the, you don't take the mark of the beast. You don't worship the image of the beast, okay? You stay faithful to God. You have the testimony of Jesus. You obey God's commandments. You obey the commandments that God has set for us. You stick to it. And the testimony of Jesus, you hold on to, you stick faithful to, amen. Amen, y'all, most definitely. So there you have it, all right. That's the word for today. The book of Revelation, chapter 18, all the way through 22. All right, so that's the word. I look forward to doing more news roundups, more church notes, and possibly probably doing more lost books of the Bible's reading, like more lost books. I definitely want to get into that as well, amen. So you always want to keep seeking God always and always searching his word from Genesis to Revelation and beyond. Amen. So wisdom, knowledge, understanding is very powerful. So let us always keep asking the Lord for it, the Holy Spirit. Let us keep asking him for wisdom. Amen. So there you have it. All right. What I would love to do as I close out is give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. All right. So here we go. Yes, yes, y'all. Praise the Lord. He is the chief cornerstone, y'all. Most definitely. He is the firstborn of all creation. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all. He's the head of the church, the Holy One, the Judge, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Word. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of Life. He is the Alpha and Omega, Emmanuel, the I Am that I am. He is the Lord of all, the true God. He is the author, perfecter of our faith, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the deliverer, the good shepherd, the high priest, the Lamb of God, the mediator, the rock, the resurrection of life, the savior, the true vine, the way, truth, the life. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. Most definitely, man. The Father, Son are amazing. All praise and glory to them. All praise and glory to him. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, the helper. All right. Yes, yes, y'all. So all praise and glory to the Most High God forevermore, y'all. He is so amazing. And always boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord, y'all. He is the seed of Abraham promise, the seed of Adam humanity, the seed of David kingship, the seed of God deity, the seed of Jacob nationality, the seed of Judah tribe, the seed of Shem race, the seed of woman prophecy. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. So boast in the Lord, y'all. Tell everybody how good the Lord is. In the authority and the power and name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, redeemed, forgiven. Embrace the love. New mind, new heart, new soul, new blessings, new prosperity, new flourishing, new journey, new path, new steps, new life. Amen. Most definitely, y'all. So there you have it. All right. That's the word for today. The book of Revelation, chapter 18 through 22 reading. Amen. So praise the Lord. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you repent and get baptized, start your life over for the Most High. I pray that you turn away from your ways and start over, and that the Lord gives you more signs, miracles, wonders, new signs, new dreams, new visions, and more things to tell and share with others. Amen. So stay strong and encouraged out there, people. All right. What I would love to do as I close out is do the priestly blessing on the way out. All right. So here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for you all. God bless you all. Praying for you all. Love you all. Peace.